Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk. Ask the GP on Lunchtime Live.
Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic is with us to answer all of your questions today. Niall, good afternoon.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Not bad at all. It's 087 1400 106. That's the number. This listener is in their 20s, really fit, run 10 to 20k a couple of times a week, eat normal food, but not a great diet. They do drink a fair bit for someone their age, relatively skinny and lean, but they say they have a beer belly and a big high abdomen. Not flabby, more bloat after eating anything, it does show. I just don't know who I should go to address it. Is it a dietitian, a personal trainer or a GP?
Could be a combination of all three. I think first off, I probably would make those dietary changes and probably reduce the alcohol if by their own admission they drink quite a lot and their diet isn't great. If they're bloating, probably should get a few bloods with their own GP as well at some point. And if everything is okay from that perspective, and they may not need to see a personal trainer at all. But I probably would go through those first two hoops first.
Yeah, GP first of all.
Yeah, and if they're seeing a dietitian, just make sure that it's a registered dietitian, someone who has all their bona fides.
I've ongoing nausea. I'm a woman aged 46. I've had all of the usual tests. Everything's okay. Only inflammation in my stomach. Could this be perimenopause related or any suggestions?
It could be. Okay. If somebody comes in with kind of nausea in that age group, it wouldn't be top of my list. Other things would be important. That person said they've had all their tests, so they need to make sure they're not pregnant anyway, definitely for a start. Okay. You probably would want to check through kind of a suite of bloods as well. Unfortunately, the perimenopause is kind of a tricky diagnosis. There's no real test that you can do to confirm it. It kind of depends on the person's history and a few things, but it sounds like they've had all the usual tests, and inflammation of the stomach would be diagnosed on a gastroscopy, which is a camera into your stomach. So it sounds like this person is advanced on a few investigations, but probably would want to see what their bloods are like. And there's a chance this could be perimenopause related, but it wouldn't be one of my kind of top line symptoms.
Tommy has got in touch. He says he has a vasculitis rash on both legs and feet. What can make it go away? What is that, first of all?
So vasculitis is a relatively rare condition. It's an inflammatory condition, kind of sort of in the same family as rheumatoid arthritis and things like that. It's usually diagnosed by a specialist. So I don't know if this person has maybe looked up images of a rash and they feel that it looks like a vasculitis type rash. I think if they think that, it is something that would need to be looked at. And you can do blood tests and things like that to try and thrash it out a little bit. It isn't something that would generally settle with a cream or an antibiotic or something like that. It's kind of more of a systemic inflammation that's causing that.
This texter developed ocular migraines in their 50s. They don't have pain, but they're wondering, is a cause for concern?
There's the potential cause for concern there. I'm always wary when a patient comes to me and tells me that they've been diagnosed with a migraine, because you want to know who has made that diagnosis. And a lot of the time people will be on the money. It is a migraine or a particular type of migraine. But for us, kind of red flags that we would like to see people or get them seen by a specialist would be if there's a change in their migraine pattern, or if a migraine comes on quite acutely, sort of late in life. 50s, I don't know if you'd describe that as late in life, later in life maybe.
But if it's only really starting to present quite severe at that point,
yes,
get it checked.
That is not quite a red flag, but something that I would get checked before too long. You might need some imaging or to see a specialist or something.
Okay. Listeners 37, they've hemorrhoids for over 10 years. I use creams, but they come and go. Do I need surgery?
Got to feel sorry for that person. 10 years is a long time. It depends on the context of it, I suppose. We know it's commoner in certain conditions like pregnancy, for example. So if it flared quite significantly during pregnancy and then settled down again, it may not. But again, I'm always wary of where that label of hemorrhoid has come from, because sometimes people will use that label and it'll actually be something else that's going on. So anyone like that needs to get their back passage examined properly, and they may need a colonoscopy or something like that also.
So GP, definitely a trip to the GP you recommend there.
I'm afraid so. And yeah, this is something that people are often really, really embarrassed to bring to the table.
Yeah.
But we're really used to it, and we're really used to dealing with it. And there are loads of treatments out there, and not everybody needs surgery by any stretch of the imagination.
So it's quite common, is it?
It's extremely common. I would imagine that every single person, if they live long enough, will get hemorrhoids at some point.
And is it caused or brought on by anything in particular?
It can be caused by straining. So it can be caused by people who don't have a lot of roughage in the diet, who don't maybe empty their bowels regularly. It can be caused in certain conditions like pregnancy, as we said. And there is an alternative diagnosis where that isn't hemorrhoids, but that people mislabel as hemorrhoids, which isn't sinister, but can be quite painful, called a perianal hematoma, which is just a big fancy term for a bleed into the skin around the back passage that can be really, really sore, that people label as hemorrhoids, but it needs an entirely different treatment.
Okay.
So this is something I would get somebody to have a look at. Yeah.
This listener is taking melatonin capsules for problems with sleeping. Are they close to having natural sleep, or do you recommend them?
They definitely have a role for some people. And in some countries, you can get them over the counter. I think it's predominantly prescription only in this country, as far as I'm aware. The difficulty with melatonin is that it can be very challenging to get the dose right. So 4 milligrams of melatonin for one person might be multiples of that for another. Mm. So if you can get it and it works, that's generally okay. It's a naturally producing hormone in our systems. So it really kind of depends kind of on the individual. But if they can strike on a dose that works for them, it's generally okay to take.
This texter says their son has a pain in his ear and was using drops. Now, the last couple of days he has pain. There's actually mucus coming out, but they have to wait until Friday for an appointment because they're training in a new job and can't get it off. Have you any advice in the interim?
Definitely, I would up pain relief. Okay, if that sounds like it could be quite painful. If there's a lot of mucus coming out from it, depends on the type of drops. If they're de-waxing drops, I probably would stop using them. If they've been prescribed something, then maybe somebody's had a look in and feels that they need them. But I probably would try and get that seen a little bit sooner. I don't know if I'd wait 4 days, even in the out-of-hour service or something
The off-call GP, is it? Or,
I think that would be a reasonable thing for somebody to go along to that service with.
Yeah. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener has a 12-year-old daughter with a very small, hard, pea-like bump or lump under her skin. It's just behind the crease of her armpit. Now, they've gone to the doctor. Doctor wasn't concerned about it, but asked for me to watch it. 6 weeks later, it's still there, but no bigger. It's just the same. I'm just wondering what to do, except it's there and just maybe leave it alone, or should we get it further investigated? Otherwise, she's well and her usual self.
Good. Well, it's good that she's well and her usual self. She's not getting temperature, sweat, things like that. Naturally, this is the type of thing if someone puts into a search engine, it'll throw up all sorts of real scary things. But it sounds to me like what's called a swollen lymph node. And we have loads of those in our bodies. They get swollen from time to time. In the context of infection, usually we're always careful if they're not settling. So if it's, you know, an isolated one that's still there after 6 weeks, if the child is well, I would probably say we'd leave it a little bit longer. If it's going on much longer than that, then I would consider investigating it. But this is something that we see a lot, usually around the head and neck, occasionally the armpit. A swollen lymph node in the armpit of a woman, I would have a much lower threshold to investigate, because that can be a sign of breast disease. So the ages of somebody being 12 is very important there for the management.
Okay, so should they go back to the doctor then, or just...
It's been 6 weeks. I would probably, if the child is well, I would probably leave it a little bit longer.
Yeah, leave it a little bit longer. Yeah. Okay. Listeners 59, male, gets swollen ankles in the mornings. Any thoughts?
Swollen ankles, a lot of the time, well, the term for that is edema, okay, which is basically fluid around the ankles. So there's edema then is split into different kind of forms. It can be dependent edema. It can be associated with, in some cases, reduced heart pump efficiency. It can be sometimes a side effect of some medications. And there's one very common antihypertensive or high blood pressure medication we use that causes swollen ankles. So, It's one of those things that could have a multitude of causes, not necessarily kind of worrisome. It's the kind of thing, if it settles, if the person elevates their legs, then it could be more of what we call a dependent edema, which we see in warm weather and people who go on flights and different altitude and things like that. But if it's persisting and the person had other symptoms like breathlessness, palpitations, dizziness, any kind of chest discomfort, it's something that they would need to have looked at.
This texter regularly gets heartburn, female in their 30s. Their diet hasn't changed. It goes away with tablets, but I'm quite wary of taking them too regularly. Is there anything that usually brings them on, or maybe things I should avoid? And how worried should I be about this?
Well, I suppose anything that brings it on, definitely kind of excess alcohol, smoking, spicy food and stress. They would be kind of the top four or so that we would sort of see in our practice. the medication that's usually prescribed for it is really generally safe. It's probably a thing called a PPI or a proton pump inhibitor, and they're safe. And if somebody has prescribed that for this texter, then I would take it. And I know people don't like being on medication longer term, especially daily, but I probably would take that tablet if it had been prescribed for her. Should you be worried about it? I think if it was going on for kind of a long time, I would do some investigation. So you can send off a sample of that person's stool to look for a particular bacteria which can grow in the stomach of some of us and cause kind of gastritis and stomach pain and things like that. So given they're in their 30s, I probably would get a few basic investigations done.
This listener's husband is very athletic, suffers from cold intolerance, leg cramps, recurrent muscle niggles and injuries. Went to the doctor, blood's all normal, slightly suboptimal, but okay. Has had physio, runs and rock climbs in the early 40s. The main issue is not being able to run due to fear the leg is going to cramp and tear. Have you any thoughts?
Probably somebody who really needs to kind of stay hydrated for like right out the door. It's also possible that they could maybe be overdoing it. What they label cold intolerance might be that they're a very slim person, that they might be quite skinny, that if they're doing an awful lot of exercise. It's encouraging that they've had all their bloods and that those are all normal. But if it's really affecting that person's kind of daily living, might be something that needs another look.
Yeah, back to the GP for that.
I'm afraid
Yeah. If we didn't get to your question today, we'll hang on to it. We will, of course, have asked the GP back again next Monday afternoon. But that's Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock Clinic, from the Portmarnock, I should say, GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.